right, we're right back. And we hope you're back. And let's everyone gather around the Big M, Monitor 73, on this third Sunday in February, midway through Washington's birthday holiday weekend. This is yours truly, Art Fleming, with many, many thanks to Jim Lowe, who sat in for me last Sunday. Kind of had a little short vacation, you know. And Jim, I do appreciate it, and I understand you did a marvelous job. And thank you all, friends, for listening. But now, let's see what we've got cooked up for this half hour, and cooked up is the appropriate phrase. A couple of minutes from now, we're going to meet the co-author of a new no-nonsense cookbook, which is virtually goof-proof. You don't have to know how to cook or even like to cook in order to use this cookbook, but if you're a student, bachelor, or just married, you're going to love what this cookbook lady has to say. But right now, we're going to get a little cooking going, musically, with Sammy Davis. Candyman.
Sweet chocolate, chocolate malt, candy, gumdrops, anything you want. You've come to the right man because I'm the candy man.
Who can take a sunrise?
Sprinkle it with you.
Cover it with chocolate and a miracle or two. The candy man. Ooh, the candy man can. Candy man can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Who can take a rainbow?
Who can take a rainbow?
Wrap it in a sigh.
Wrap it in a sigh.
Soak it in the sun and make a groovy lemon pie. The candy man.
The candy man.
The candy man can. The candy man can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good. The candy man bakes everything he bakes, satisfying and delicious.
Now you talk about your childhood wishes, you can even eat the dishes. Candy man can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good. Candy man makes everything he makes satisfying and delicious.
Talk about your childhood wishes, you can even eat the dishes. Candy man.
The candy man.
The candy man can.
The candy man can.
The candy man can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Yes, the candy man can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Well, my friends, you might think there's nothing new in cookbooks, but there very definitely is. It's a cookbook for college students and other members of the now generation, young executive types, just marrieds or just nots, and it's called Cooking to a Degree. It's a goof-proof cookbook for the hungry and helpless off campus and off on their own who have their own kitchen for the very first time. Mario Glasserow is the co-author with Lois Brook, and Mrs. Glasserow is our monitor guest. May I call you Mario?
Yes, I wish you would.
Welcome, Mario. Where did you get the idea to do this Cooking to a Degree?
Well, Lois and I had boys in school at the time, and we found that they had about 2,000 more meals to go before they graduated or found a girl who would cook for them, and we decided we'd do a book for them. That we decided it after we found out there wasn't one to buy.
You weren't put off on the fact that there are thousands literally on the market of cookbooks?
No, because we found there is a new group of people who are cooking, and that is the young of today who think cooking is really a very creative thing, and they want to go back to the natural foods and the not so canned and not so frozen, and they want to do it themselves. They're making bread even.
Well, Mario, I'd like to read for our monitor listeners some of your recipe titles. They're just great. There's Right On Stuffed Fish, Crazy Mixed Up Eggs, The Fastest Cake in the West, Fail-Safe Souffle, and the 2.5-minute pot roast. Now, pot roast, I love to cook pot roast myself. You mean it takes only 2.5 minutes to prepare before roasting?
That's all there is to it. It'll cook by itself after that for about 2.5 hours. Well, what it is, you take a large sheet of foil, aluminum foil, and you put your roast on it, and you take a package of onion soup mix and a package of mushroom soup mix, and you sprinkle it liberally all over the place, and you close the foil up very tight, and set it on a dish of some sort, and stick it in the oven, and that's all there is to it. It takes as long as it takes for me to tell you.
And how long do you cook the meat?
It'll then cook for 2.5 hours, and what we depending on the size and the quality of the meat, of course. And we tried to tell the young people who want to cook and who are busy how long they are involved and how long they're not involved. The non-involved time is at the top of each recipe. Mm-hmm. So when they flip through the book and they're looking for something to cook, they can tell immediately whether they have the time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have also in the book, Cooking to a Degree, a short page devoted to TV dinners, which you say serve an indispensable function. Why is that?
Well, If you've lived on TV dinners for a while, I mean the kind you've bought in the store, you've got these little lovely tinfoil trays that they came in, which is about 90% of the price, I think. Mm-hmm. And if you've saved those, you can then start making your own and stop buying this really pretty awful stuff. You'd put all your little leftovers into those little compartments, a few beans here and a few fried potatoes there and a little piece of meat. And as you're filling them up, you stick them in the freezer. And the next time you have something else left over, you fill another little portion. And when you get hungry, you have something to eat. Take the whole thing out and then bake it.
How does your family feel about TV dinners?
I don't allow them in the house. Uh-huh. I think they eat them while I'm on television or radio.
Well, I'm sure that you do feed them leftovers, right?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Well, you have a chapter called Turkey Feedback?
We call it feedback. You see, leftover is an ugly word.
I know, feedback.
Everybody hates that. So we thought we'd better come up with a new word, and we call it feedback.
Clever.
And at the bottom of many of our recipes where the no's and no-no's are, the no's and no-no's tell you what to be careful about and what else to do and so on. We tell them what to do with what, quote, is left over, and we call it the feedback.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I suppose the college students these days are pretty much like my generation was in college, and don't laugh. They tend to go without breakfast. But since that my day, they say that breakfast is one of the more important meals, and you've come up with a appetizing, again, title, Bonjour Toast, French Toast, that is, called... You call it something with Texas with egg on its face?
That's another breakfast recipe. But you know, a lot of the kids eat this sort of thing for supper, too, or for lunch.
By the way, Mario, what is this Texas with egg on its face?
Well, what it is a very simple meal or dinner or breakfast. It's a can of corned beef hash, which is reasonably inexpensive, and a few eggs and some butter. And you fry the hash in slices, and you fry an egg on top of it.
Oh, great.
We tell them also about cleanup, which is a big hang-up with the kids. We talk about the cleanup hang-up, and we recommend that they line the pans with foil before they start. It helps a lot in the in the miseries of what they think is kitchen maintenance.
Great idea. Yeah. I'm going to have to remember it myself.
Yes.
You have a lot of suggestions on entertaining that we'll talk about after a couple of minutes from now. My guest, my friends, is Mario Glasero, and we'll be back on The Monitor Beacon. Art Fleming at Monitor with my guest, Mario Glasserow, who is the co-author of a new book entitled Cooking to a Degree. It's a book for college students living off campus, young singles off on their own, and young marrieds who are facing their first kitchens with very little know-how. Of course, Mario, all of these groups like to entertain. You have a simple recipe for shrimp for a crowd, peel for the fun of it.
Well, this is to take the work out of shrimp serving and let the company do their own by boiling the shrimp, or steaming them, rather, in beer and some other spices, and then just sort of setting a pretty pot on the table and a plate in front of everyone, and you just reach in and you peel a shrimp while you're talking and having a good time.
Oh, you don't devein them or anything?
No, you don't have to devein them. Only Americans do that.
Oh, I see, all right.
The rest of the world hasn't thought of that.
Well, your recipe seemed to be just what the kids ordered, and besides, you have a lot of helpful hints for enjoying cooking itself. Under what everyone knows and no one tells you, you've listed such things as large peas taste like bullets and big eggplants are bitter. Let's have some more. Clever, right?
Well, we talk about things like lemons, for instance, that you will get more juice out of a lemon if you roll it on the counter, a kitchen counter, with your palm very hard, because it will release some of the juice inside. That's before you cut it, of course. Mm-hmm. And that it's also very important to keep one cut in the refrigerator so that no odors will form in the refrigerator.
You mean if you slice a lemon in half and leave it half in the refrigerator?
Your refrigerator will smell much more clean.
For how long do you keep this same?
Well, the ones you're using, you just keep in there, and if you're not using one for the next few days, cut one anyway and keep it there, and it'll open without a cover on it. Mm-hmm. It's very good. And we talk about salt, which has other purposes other than salting your food. For instance, if you sliced an onion and your hands, or garlic, and your hands smell of it, which is, you know, unavoidable.
No,
if you wash your hands with salt, or even the board on which you've done the cutting with the salt, it will take away all that odor. Did you
That's
know that?
Good to know.
Or you can put, if you're starting something that you're going to fry with oil, in order to keep the oil from splattering all over your stove and over you, if you put a little salt in it, it'll prevent that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
these are very tricky things to know.
Mario, you also have a long list of helpful hints, which you call no and no-no.
Mm-hmm.
K-N-O-W and N-O-N-O.
Yes.
All right, give us some of them. For instance, you talk about how to separate the white from the yolk of an egg.
Well, that's something that took a whole paragraph to describe. But the simple way, which we call the separating egg, the handy way, is you just break it into your open palm and let the white run through your fingers. Because we believe in cooking with your hands.
You're kidding.
Yeah,
the yellow
and it works, and then you have the yellow, you have the yolk in your hand, put in another dish.
Oh, we used to do that as initiations at fraternities in college.
That's right, it works.
Well, how do you improvise in a double boiler?
Well, if you take two pots of similar size, and the top one being just slightly smaller, so it will fit in the top, in the bottom one, put the water in the bottom one, put a marble in it so you can hear it boiling.
Put a marble in the
in
bottom?
In the bottom, in the water. You can hear the water boiling because you don't want it boiling too fast.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. And something will...
It'll
just sort of jingle a little. That's all right.
And then what do you do with a whole bunch of parsley?
A whole bunch of parsley, which is the only way you can buy it, it's a pity to let it waste. Now, there are two things you can do. Put it in a canning jar, an old mayonnaise jar, empty mayonnaise jar with the top, and it'll keep very long if you don't wash it before you use it or store it. Or you can spread it out over your cookie sheet, stick it in the oven at low, you know, very not very warm, and let it dry. And when it's dry, you just crumple it up and put it in a jar and keep it that way.
Uh-huh, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a quick method, too, of creaming butter?
Well, it's easier in a hot dish. If you are in a hurry and the butter is very cold, take a metal dish or even a regular one and a bowl, and let very hot water run over it till the bowl itself has heated up. Pour out the water and put the butter in it in pieces, and it'll melt much faster.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Well, now you talk about a pinch of this and a dash of that. What actually is it?
A pinch is what you can hold between your forefinger and thumb.
And a dash?
And a dash of that is taking a container of spices and turning it over once quickly over the food that you're putting the spice into.
Doesn't it depend on the size of the hole of the bottle?
No, they come that way. The holes are already geared to that.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about slicing meats, for instance, roasts and steaks?
Well, it is best to see which way the grain runs on the meat before you start, and then slice against the grain, meaning you're cutting the fibers of the meat short instead of the long way.
Do you believe in using tenderizers on the meat beforehand?
No, not at all. Not at all. If you have tough meat, cook it longer, that's all. Don't make a steak out of it.
It's still a lot of fun to you, isn't it? Not.
Yes, I enjoy it.
And do you go back? Does your family, are they brought
we
up now with this?
We eat from this every
you
day.
Eat from that
oh, book? Yes. My kids cook from this. My 13-year-old made the bœuf bourguignon the other day. Perfectly. It was delicious.
Well, it's marvelous. I'm going to have to read on that myself. Mary, I wish we had more time to chat with you. It is indeed a pleasure to find a person who has made cooking such a delight, and in your case, calling your book Cooking to a Degree. Thank you so much, Mario Glacero, for visiting with our Monitor listeners. Thanks again, and visit with us soon.
Thank you very much. I will.
Muffin warm and basket brown, smiling faces gathered round our dinner table, close together, hand in hand.
I always cook with honey to sweeten up the night. We always cook with honey. Tell me, how's your appetite for some sweet love?
Find and
that's an up tune, isn't it? Judy Collins, pretty sound, though. Cook with honey. Well, so much for our health food addicts. And now let's get right down to the nitty-gritty of classical French cuisine, since this half hour seems to be preoccupied with cooking and eating. And by the way, did you ever go to a French luau? That's where they always serve pig, basted with brandy. Well, we ain't got the pig, but Lenny D's going to serve up a little old brandy.
Thank you.
Tommy, we've certainly fattened you up during this non-caloric half hour. It's time for all NBC monitor stations, though, to sign in, after which we're going to come right back. That's a promise. From me, your obedient servant, Art Fleming.
The weekend may be about over, but you still have time for a nightcap. This is Jim Lowe inviting you to drop by Sunday Night Monitor. We've got everything but aspirins.
Isn't that the ever-loving, ever-living truth? Monitor, where the good times are, not to mention information, news, music, sports, gardening. Gardening? Yeah, that's right, because America's master gardener, Jerry Baker, is a Monitor regular these days. And in this half hour, he's going to clue you in on the care and feeding of a good old healthy lawn. Also, another PGA golf report direct from the Andy Williams San Diego Open. Not enough? Okay, tell you what I'm going to do. Sir or madam, as the case may be, I'm going to tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. That's not a new Olympic event, and it may mean nothing to you, but it means something to a group called Dawn. Troops?
I'm coming home, I've done my time. Now I've got to know what is and isn't mine. If you receive my letter telling you I'd soon be free, to do if you still want me, if you still want me. Oh, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. It's been 3 long years. Do you still want me?
Still want me?
If I don't see a ribbon around the old oak tree, I'll stay on the bus, forget about us. Blame on me if I don't see a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Bus driver, please look for me, 'cause I couldn't bear to see what I might see. I'm really still in prison in my love.
Yeah, it's all right to tie a yellow ribbon around an old oak tree if you live out of New York. Where are you going to tie it? Around a garbage can? Well, that was the Dawn anyway. Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree.
If you're feeling sad and lonely, there's a service I can render. Tell the one who loves you only, I can be so warm and tender. Call me. Don't be afraid. You can call.
but just call me and I'll be around.
This is O.C. Smith for the Bell System. Share your warmest feelings with someone you miss. Long distance is the next best thing to being there.
Hey, my friends, if you want to know better, read the best. U.S. News is the blue chip of magazines. Cut through the news muddle. Read U.S. News for change. Courageous Olivia Newton-John now comes to grips with a question which has boggled the minds of poets and philosophers for centuries. What is life? You mean it ain't a fountain?
What I feel.
John, what is life? To a PGA golfer this weekend, life is a crack at the prize money in the Andy Williams San Diego Open, from which we're going to have a direct report next on the Monitor Beacon. Now, a Monitor PGA Golf Report from the Andy Williams San Diego Open at the Torrey Pines Golf Course. Here's Jim Kelly.
Bruce Crampton carded a brilliant 68, 4-under par on the sunny south course at Torrey Pines yesterday and will take aim today on his third tournament victory on the PGA Winter Circuit. On the third round of the Andy Williams San Diego Open yesterday, viewed by some 16,000 fans, the Australian pro made his 54-hole tally 205, one stroke ahead of former Oklahoma State players Greer Jones and Bob Dixon, with today's final round remaining. Crampton, who won the Phoenix and Tucson tournaments on recent successive weekends, is currently number one on the money list for this year. His earnings total $63,000, and if he picks up that first-place check of $34,000 this afternoon, would have earned better than $97,000 through the first month and a half of the tour. This morning, I talked with Bruce Crampton about his theory about key holes versus a total 72-hole event.
Well, that's right, Jim. You know, if you go back and get on that Indian reservation that I've talked about so many times with the ifs and the couldas and the shouldas and the wouldas, well, you know, you can formulate a lot of different plans and ideas. And as John Brody said, hindsight is 20/20. But you just stop and think about it. It's a 72-hole golf tournament, and the first tee shot is just as important as the last putt on Sunday afternoon.
That's your tournament leader, Bruce Crampton, through 54 holes, 11 under par, one stroke behind Bob Dixon and Greer Jones, four shots back Dave Eichelberger, and at 6 under par, Billy Casper and last year's runner-up Hale Irwin. For Monitor Sports, this is Jim Kelly.
More PGA Golf reports from the Andy Williams San Diego Open later today on Monitor.
WSG AM and FM New York.
The Fifth Dimension, with a song dedicated to the lovers of tomato plants everywhere, living together, growing together. If you don't love tomato plants, you blew the tune. Remember, Jerry Baker's next. Okay, gang.
Living together, growing together, just being together, that's how it starts, three loving hearts.
Living and growing.
Master Gardener Jerry Baker is with us again for one of his regular monitor visits on Your Growing World. Jerry, of course, wrote the book Plants Are Like People, a new record album by the same title, and the Back to Nature Almanac. Okay, Jerry, what have you got for us this week?
Well, I want everybody to start feeding their lawn.
Feeding their lawn, okay. Why? Yep. At any particular time of the year or right now?
Just before a snowstorm, okay? Just before a snowstorm, I want you to get out there with a spreader. I would suggest that you do it late in the evening, you know, so your neighbors don't think you're nuts. Now, this is in the snow area. In the West Coast, just before a rain, you can go out there. And, of course, it's dormant out there. And the reason we do it, we call it dormant feeding. Now, you can also dormant seed. That's to apply grass seed so that it germinates quickly before the drying era seasons come in. In all the states, it happens to be the same. It happens to be March because you didn't seed at the right time. You didn't seed in the spring. And, you know, do you know the first day of spring by Mother Nature's calendar?
Mother Nature's calendar? I'd say the 21st of March.
August the 15th.
Really?
By Mother Nature's. That's when she sows her seed. So if you don't do it between August the 15th and September 20th, you better go like the Dickens now, which is now.
I'm going to have to use that on a Final Jeopardy on my show.
Okay, that is. Okay, now what you do is you go out and you buy the cheapest garden food. Garden food. Mm-hmm. Now there's a difference between lawn food and garden food. You know the numbers up there. Garden food is one that is applied to something that grows fruits or vegetables or flowers. That would be, so the figures would be low. 4, 12, 4, 5, 10, 5. Lawn food is a 10, 6, 4, 12, 6, 6. High nitrogen. That's for after it grows. I want root structure. Go out right now, buy the cheapest bag of fertilizer you can, and put your spreader setting on about a number 3 on any spreader, and then go back and forth across the lawn. No stripes. Don't have to worry about burning because the ground is frozen, right? Mm-hmm. The grass is asleep. Then what happens, the snow comes down on it, and it just lays there and gets the nitrogen loose from its carrier, but primarily it gets the other vitamins, potash and phosphorus, which grow roots. And as soon as the temperature gets above 40, the grass goes and it starts to grow before the top does, the roots do. Then what happens is when it starts to thaw, you've got a super start on the lawn. Your grass will be greener sooner, and you won't have to go on the other side of the fence. You know, the other man's grass is always greener. Do
you
know why?
That means you have to mow much more, too, right?
No, that's wrong, too. By starting a good lawn care program and feeding your lawn like you and I eat, a regular meal every day, but in the case of a lawn, every other time you mow your lawn, you put your spreader on the lowest spreader setting possible and put the cheapest fertilizer you can on, your lawn learns to eat and to react on a normal period, and you don't have sporadic umps and downs and jumps. Every time old Jupe Fluvius has a thunderstorm and throws 78% nitrogen, that's extra. Mm-hmm. That's your grass goes. But if your lawn is eating over a regular balanced diet, you don't have to mow as much as you do if you do it the dumb way.
Well, that's a good thing to know.
And you know what the dumb way is?
What's that?
The dumb way is ignorance. And ignorance, of course, is not taking a chance. Take a chance. Fertilize your lawn right now in the middle of winter between snowstorms, and then you become a Missourian. Well, seeing is believing.
That's great, Jerry. Thank you. We've been visiting with America's Master Gardener, Jerry Baker, whose regular monitor feature, Your Growing World, is heard every weekend.
I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let live or let go. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. So you better think it over. Well, if sweet talking you could make it come true, I would give you the world right now on a silver platter. I never promised you a rose garden. pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could sing you a tune and promise you the moon, but if that's what it takes to hold you, I'd just as soon let you go.
That was lovely Lynn Anderson singing Rose Garden. And coming right after the Gardener Jerry Baker, it's what I call creative music programming. Ugh. Brief word here now about something important to the youth of our town. Did you know that there are almost 5 million boys in America today in scouting? And did you also know that for every boy in scouting today, there's another boy who'd like to be but can't? The reason most of them can't is because no adult in his neighborhood thinks that scouting's worth the time. If you don't think scouting's worth the time, brother, you don't know enough about scouting. Scouting today's a lot more than you think. Really and truly. You want to find out some more? All you have to do is write Scouting, North Brunswick, New Jersey, 08902. Okay?